Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
Well, I thought yesterday was going to be the final podcast in this series on anxiety, but I decided to record one more because our whole culture is racked with anxiety right now. Despite all these episodes that we've been podcasting, I don't know if the whole general population is listening to them, but we seem to have a lot of anxiety floating around about coronavirus. I know you're probably sick and tired of hearing about coronavirus, but all I'm going to do is talk about how to apply the biblical principles about anxiety to not only this issue, but any crisis, any national epidemic or major crisis or threat that's floating around out there. So what should you do if you find yourself freaking out about this threat? And this could apply to not only the virus, but any kind of climate change or straws in the ocean or too many chemicals in your food or whatever it is. How do you deal with anxiety over these big scares? Well, first of all, what's the very first principle we learned? Use anxiety for its intended purpose, which is to drive you to take appropriate action. So in the case of disease, wash your hands and, you know, don't touch your face and all that. And most importantly, repent of your sin. One of the purposes of catastrophes, the main purpose of catastrophes, is to drive people to repentance, because catastrophes illustrate the wrath of God. Now, I'm not saying that the coronavirus, and I should call it COVID-19, because there's a lot of different coronaviruses. That's just a general overall blanket term for lots of different strains. But the one that's in the news now is COVID-19. I'm not saying that COVID-19 or any other virus is a direct judgment on any specific sin, but I am saying that all disease is a result of the fall and the curse, which came from sin. And all disease and natural disasters and catastrophes illustrate the wrath of God. They're samples of God's wrath over sin. And so they should all cause us to repent. And Jesus taught that principle. Some people came to Jesus and asked him about some catastrophes. They said, what about the Galileans that were slaughtered by Pilate while they were offering sacrifices in Luke 13:1? And Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. So they were to look at that catastrophe and say, oh, we better repent. And then he says, or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. So just because you don't get hit by the catastrophe doesn't mean that you're not in jeopardy. If you have not repented, then those catastrophes are symbols of God's wrath, and they're samples of what you're in for if you don't repent. So the number one thing that we can learn from COVID-19 is repent, repent, repent. So make sure you're right with God. That's the anxiety of worrying about COVID-19 should drive you to repentance and to make sure you're right with God. That's the number one action it should drive you to, and it should also drive you to wash your hands and be careful about germs. And one other action our anxiety should always drive us to is urgent prayer, right? We should pray hard. Pray hard about important things. And use the energy of your anxiety to enable you to pray really hard about what needs to be prayed. And you can pray that you wouldn't get sick, but that's not really the most important thing. The most important thing is that this scare would cause our culture, many in our culture, to repent and turn to Christ, right? That's the biggest thing we need to be praying for during this time. Lord, let this terror that's coming across the world on this because of this disease, make people fear you and turn to you in repentance. Pray hard for that. So those are the actions we should take. Now, suppose you take all those actions, and once you take the actions that you need to take, your anxiety should be gone, right? But sometimes it stays. So what do you do if you still got anxiety after you've taken those actions? Well, the next step is to rip the teeth out of your fear. Defang it. And the way you do that is by confront the worst case scenario head on, just face to face. Picture the worst thing happening, the worst possible case scenario happening. Imagine that it's happening. Put yourself in that that situation, and then imagine yourself having joy and peace in your fellowship with God that is greater than your suffering, even in the midst of that horrible worst-case scenario. Preach to your soul. Tell yourself, I could go through that worst-case thing and still be happy, because happiness comes from God, and he joy from fellowship with him can outweigh any amount of suffering. And I would way rather have joy in suffering than have no suffering and no joy. So preach to your soul. If you are afraid of something and you just avoid thinking about it, or you just keep telling yourself, oh, it probably won't happen, probably won't happen, that's not the way to deal with it. The way to deal with it is imagine it happening, deal with it face head on, just face it head on, and rip the teeth out of it by saying, yeah, you know, even then, I'd still be happy. So no big deal. I'm not afraid. I don't have anything to be afraid of. And then once you've done that, once you've preached to your soul, don't let the world preach you back in the other direction. Don't listen to the hysteria. You know, you don't really need 25 updates every day and hours of commentary about the virus and all these people, and this people, this many dead. You hear all those numbers, and it can be very misleading because you don't realize what a tiny percentage of the population that is and the tiny probabilities that are involved. Whenever you listen to the news, just remind yourself, this is sensationalism. That's their job. That's what they do. They're trying to get ratings. They blow everything up into a massive sensationalistic thing, especially in election years. They're trying to use it to get people riled up. Don't fall for that. Don't take it as served up. Put it through a filter that brings it back down to earth, because it's not as crazy. They make every one of these, you know, think of how many of these scares there's been. There was the Ebola and MERS and SARS and bird flu and swine flu, Zika, H1N1, whatever, all these viruses and diseases and everything, and they're all the end of the world. And yet, each one of those, if you think back to when it happened, how much did it really affect your life? We basically all kept living our lives pretty much the same. This disease, it's 3,000 deaths worldwide. You look at the world's population, and that is a tiny, tiny number, tiny fraction of the world population. Of all the people that have gotten the disease, 62,000 have already recovered. Well over half have already recovered. It used to be, they were saying 19% of cases were serious. Now it's down to 13%. That'll, of course, come down as they test more people and they find more and more of the mild cases. Most cases are very mild. This is stuff that they typically don't report. I think right now the number of deaths in the United States is somewhere around 27. And if we follow the pattern of other countries, it'll probably peak in the next month or two, and then it'll fade. But just remember, the press is always motivated to hype problems and make them sound like world-ending problems. And so you need to make sure you take things with a grain of salt when they're hyping them up. Just for a little bit of perspective, somewhere between 12 and 60,000 people die every single year from the flu. We don't think anything of that. We're just used to that. You remember the H1N1 virus? We've had over 16,000 deaths from H1N1 just this flu season already. And that's not even in the news. People aren't even talking about that. There's just a handful of deaths from COVID-19. It doesn't even compare. It's not even the same ballpark as H1N1. And even if COVID-19 explodes like H1N1 did, and it becomes just as rampant and tens of thousands of people are dying, still, that's such a small fraction. The chances of you dying today, statistically, are the same as they were a year ago. The chances of you getting sick today are about the same as they were a year ago. There's so many diseases out there, so many strains of flu and colds and all kinds of horrible things, some of them very serious. Ebola's still out there. There's all kinds of stuff that's still out there. There's one more to add to the list now. There's not very much of it in the United States, but the point is, your situation really hasn't changed appreciably enough to move the needle on the statistics. It's sad, the people that have died, but it's just for perspective. You look at other killers that are killing more people, and in the list of things killing more people are toasters. Did you know that 700 people are killed every year by their toaster? And almost half of those are in the United States? That little appliance sitting on your counter is a greater threat to your life than COVID-19 right now. 2,500 people a year, every year in the United States are killed, as left-handed people killed because they were trying to use some implement made for right-handed people. $2,500 a year die from that. Honestly, I'm not the slightest bit concerned that I might contract COVID-19 because there's so many other diseases out there. Statistically, I'm orders of magnitude more likely to catch those other ones than I am COVID-19. I probably couldn't catch it if I wanted to. I do wash my hands, and I am careful, but mostly to avoid regular flu and other diseases more than COVID-19, because I'm hundreds of times more likely to die from regular flu than from COVID-19. All these people running to Walmart to stock up on a year's worth of toilet paper, those people aren't any more likely to get sick today than they were a year ago, other than the fact that they're all grouping together at Walmart, and they probably, some of them have a cold, and they might get share some germs, but other than that, the statistics, there's nothing to panic about. So be careful about listening to all the hype and just filling your ears, because the news, they're just going 24/7 with this thing, and they'll get you worked up if you just keep listening to it, no matter how much you try to tell yourself otherwise and preach to your soul. But what if it does get really bad? Or what if another disease comes? What if there really was a devastating plague, like a bubonic plague in the 1300s, like that, where it killed 50 million people and places were wiped out, over half the population wiped out across three continents and all that? What if we had a plague like that today? Then what would you do with your anxiety? Well, still, you can apply these same principles. Realize that you can trust God. You realize what God is like. Focus your attention on what God is like. Cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. Germs infecting human bodies is not a random process. God decides when you get a germ, when you get sick, when you don't. He's in charge of all of that. And the one who's in charge of all that cares for you deeply. You can cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. He'll never let anything happen to you that isn't best for you. And so you can entrust the whole microscopic world to Him. You do what you can, you wash your hands, and then you just trust Him. And if He decides it's time for you to get sick, that's what's best for you. And if He's going to use that to take you to heaven, wonderful. That's his business. It's not something we need to be afraid of, because it's in the hands of someone who cares about you and who loves you. If you know Him. Now, if you don't know Him, if you're not sure that your sins are forgiven, if you're not 100% certain that if you died right now of some disease, you would go to heaven, if you're not sure of that, please contact me. Send me a message on Facebook or send me an email or something, and I'd love to talk to you and help you get to the point where you can be certain. Because once you know that, then what does it matter what method He uses to bring you to heaven? So, let's show the world that we have a God that we trust. And let's not panic about this latest sensationalized scare. Okay. Tomorrow, so that wraps up, I think this time for real, that wraps up the anxiety series. Tomorrow, the rest of this week, I'm going to have podcasts from our last Bible study. So we're going to look at the rich young ruler starting tomorrow. See you.
Thank you for listening. We pray these principles from the Word of God are helping you find the peace of God as you draw nearer to the God of peace. Maybe there's someone in your network who would enjoy these podcasts. You never know how posting a link on Facebook might change someone's day or their whole life. Please remember to pray for this ministry, and remember that we're a crowd-funded ministry, so every gift helps. Just go to treasuringgod.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.